This is the Stock Day Podcast, sponsored by InvestorsHangout.com. Subscribe to us on iTunes and YouTube to stay up to date on penny stock news and interviews. Public information on OTC, pink sheets, and microcap stocks from around the world. Here's your host, Everett Jolly.
On today's show, I'm bringing back a returning guest. She was on my show back last month, February the 17th. We're talking about no other than Tego Cyber Inc. They trade on the OTCQB. And with us today is the CEO, going to bring us up to speed, Ms. Shannon Wilkinson. Shannon, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Everett. Happy to be on again.
You know, I would like to do like maybe a possible 30-day overview, oversight, if you will. We're at the very end here of March. And that being said, some of the highlights that came out to my attention while doing my research is one, in January, you brought on a very important person I believe could be a game changer for your company is Mr. Brent Watkins. He's formerly with the FBI. Now he leads your business development activities. I'd like to touch upon that. Also, you partner with Aviation Ventures to do a market strategy. All that being said, where are we at going forward and how are sales going?
Well, I could say sales are imminent. Like you said, we brought on Brent at the beginning of January to lead up our business development, reach out to some of the contacts he had from the time that he was the FBI and critical infrastructure. Of course, those kind of deals do take a little bit of time to get through the process of making introductions, going through demos and such. So we should have, I hope, some news in the coming month, I would say, about some clients coming on board. As well as you mentioned our partnership with Vation Ventures, really what Vation Ventures is doing for us is identifying strategic channel partners for Tego. So basically value-added resellers or VARs, managed security service providers or MSSPs, managed service providers, essentially people that have existing relationships with the customers already who would find value in adding threat intelligence into their offering. So they have started making introductions. We're starting to have those conversations with those strategic partners now. So again, very soon we'll probably have news about some of those channel partners signing on with us. So another cool thing about Vation Ventures to make sure that we at Tego have everything that we need to have a successful channel partner is that they actually put us through a channel partner program certification process. So they are looking through like all of our documentation, price list, agreements, everything like that, and making sure all the T's are crossed and the I's are dotted and that we have everything in place to make sure that we enable and allow our channel partners to be successful in selling Tego solutions.
And on the Splunk, where are we at on that process?
You mean with the Splunk integration?
Yes.
That is all complete. That is available out there. We had our soft launch back in October, at the end of October. So that is what we are focusing on right now. In addition to Brent and Vation, we are also having some strategic discussions with potential CROs or chief revenue officers who would really kind of take the reins and lead the sales team from a strategic and executive standpoint.
Nice. Let's talk about the balance sheet. I read that you guys' burn rate was around $100,000, but you guys got plenty of money in the bank. Where are we at on that? And also, I understand you have no convertible debt, which blows my mind for an OTC company.
Right. So, of course, going through the process of bringing on strategic team members, our burn rate has gone up a bit. It's probably around 120, 130 now. But yes, we are comfortable with the funding that we have now, as well as you mentioned, we don't have any convertible debt that we have to worry about. We did take on some convertible notes early on, but because our S1, our initial S1 is fully subscribed, we're able to pay that off. So we're currently not carrying any convertible debt on the balance sheet and don't really have any intention to take on any debt. We do also have an S1 offering open out there right now in case we do need to raise a little bit more money as we go through commercialization. We have that option. We were trying to be strategic and smart about the way we did the funding. So we essentially set up a shelf offering in case we did need to raise a little bit more money as we went through the process of bringing on our first customers.
2021 will go down as the great resignation of people leaving jobs. That being said, how do you feel where cybersecurity skills gap affect recruiting and the talent that you need to move forward with your company?
Yeah, it's crazy to think about how many vacant positions there are out there within cybersecurity, and just the fact that there's not enough people with the skills to fill those positions. We've been fortunate through essentially the networks of our founding team as well as our board of directors to when we sit down and say, you know, hey, we want to think about bringing on that CRO, the chief revenue officer, just anybody know anybody that would be a good fit. To really have an extensive network within our group where we can reach out to people and have those kind of conversations. So fortunately, we haven't run into issues with finding and identifying the right talent. Of course, those conversations do take a little bit of time, as well as we've taken a little bit of an interesting approach to finding talent as well through our partnership with Ionovate here in Las Vegas that helps us find the software developers that we need here onshore. So we have our team here in Las Vegas. Essentially what their program does is that it teams up a senior developer with those that are coming out of either the community colleges here in Southern Nevada, as well as Northern Nevada, coming out of coding boot camps, you know, coming out of UNLV and UNR, and essentially allowing us to tap into people who are trying to get their foot in the door. That might not necessarily have years of experience, but, you know, have a passion and a want to get into software development and cybersecurity. We've actually taken that model as well and applied that to our cybersecurity analysts, too. So Chris White and our CISO office is finding interested parties that want to become cybersecurity analysts and maybe have gone through a boot camp but don't have a lot of experience. But like I said, have that passion and drive and want to get their foot in the door.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. You know, there's if you turn on your TV, you see it's on people's mind, the Russian invasion of Ukraine and the possibility of cyber attacks. All that being said, can you tell our viewers about the situation, your thoughts on that, and how real it could be or how real it's going to be?
Absolutely. So I think the federal government, the Biden administration, as well as CISA, has done a fantastic job of really keeping organizations informed of the possibilities of cyber attacks. And, you know, CISA issued their shields up at the very beginning of the invasion of Ukraine to tell organizations, here are some steps that you can take to better protect your organization against potential cyber attacks. If we think about what does a cyber attack by Russia mean or how could it affect us, we could definitely look at last year as an example of the effect that it could have on the lives of ordinary citizens in what happened with the Colonial Pipeline attack. That was Russian-backed, as well as JBS, the meat manufacturer and meat processing plants. You know, that had an effect on our daily lives. And in those type of organizations, what we would probably consider critical infrastructure that is being targeted possibly by Russia in these cyber attacks, as well as, you know, Russian-backed hackers released about four different variants of data wiping malware. So it's like ransomware, but it doesn't encrypt the data. It just destroys the computer system so that there is no chance of recovery. And unless we shore up our defenses and make sure that we're protecting our critical infrastructure as well as our organizations, we have the potential to see those type of destructive attacks that we wouldn't be able to recover from here in the U.S. as well.
My guest today is Shannon Wilkinson. She is the CEO of Tego Cyber, Inc. You can find them on the OTCQB under the ticker symbol TGCB. Shannon, before I let you go, what is it the main thing you're proud of the first 90 days here in 2022?
I would just say I'm really proud of the team that we're putting together here at Tego. We have some really fantastic folks joining us, you know, earlier this year as well as in the near future. So that really excites me. You know, being surrounded by people who have passion for cybersecurity and want to make a difference. And, you know, I'm just really excited. Like you said, I think this year is Tego's year. We'll start seeing some customers come on board. And that's really exciting news that we're hoping to share in the near future.
appreciate you coming on the show. I'm a big fan of what you guys have been doing out there. Hopefully you'll come back in 30 or 40 days and give us an update.
Absolutely. Thanks, Everett. Appreciate it.
This program is entirely sponsored and produced by La Jolla Media LLC, which is responsible for the content. The opinions and information provided on this program are for educational and research purposes. Stock Day encourages all listeners of this program to do their due diligence and research when determining investment strategies that will work for them, or to seek the assistance of an investment professional.